this morning in Jesus' name. Lord bless you all. Glad to be with each and every one of you and see you all here this morning. Again, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we just want to thank you, God, for your goodness to us and your mercies. We pray, Lord, that you'd fill us with your Spirit. Lord, that we'd be faithful to you, Lord, and loyal. God, we just ask that you give us wisdom as we open your word. Clarity of heart and mind. See the vision of Christ. And follow in his steps. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles this morning to Second Corinthians. Begin in verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you, that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Chapter 10, verse 1. 1 Corinthians. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. Paul, was begging them by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. Christ, he gives us a little picture of Christ, his meekness, his willingness to submit to God's will, and his gentleness. He implored us on that meekness and gentleness that was in Christ. And in presence, he was base among them, but being absent, was bold toward them. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Goes on here again. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Sometimes our battles that we fight, they don't appear like battles to us. But that's where the war is many times. A lot of times we like to see the outward conflict. It satisfies our flesh sometimes, even to be in conflict. But that's not what we're shooting for. Our battles are with, not with flesh and blood. Verse 5, our battles are casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How does our life fit with the life of Christ? That's the warfare that we're waging. That's the loyalty that we heard about this morning in the children's class. That's the loyalty we sang about. Bringing into captivity those things in our lives, those very thoughts, those very imaginations that would separate us from Christ. Those very things, bringing them into captivity, getting control of our minds. You know, to truly get control of your mind, you've got to get a hold of it in the first place. You've got to be in charge of your own mind. No one else can do that for you. You have to bring it under control, or something else will. I think that's one of the things these pushes behind these, all this entertainment that's so readily available today. One of the brethren was talking as we were going somewhere this weekend that men his age were spending, and I don't know what, who was saying that, 40 years old, that there were 40-year-old men spending 3 and 4 hours a day playing computer games. That should be ridiculous to us. But yet it's the normal. I just can hardly even imagine seeing my dad or my granddad spending 5 minutes playing on one of those stupid things. And yet today, grandpas are out buying their grandchildren these games and playing along with them. My, how things have changed. And it's all about controlling our minds. You know, you can't think of anything proper when your mind is full of stuff like that, just being entertained so cheaply and so easily. I think you would do well to shy away from those things as much as we can, because it doesn't help us bring our mind. Whenever we just kick our mind off and play some silly video game or something like that, we're not bringing our imagination under any type of control that's godly. We need to be able to control our thoughts. How are we going to win a war if we're not in control of what we're thinking? Our weapons are not with warfare. They're not carnal. They're not with physical things. The battle that we're fighting is in our minds for our souls. We need to bring those things into subjection. Bring every thought into captivity and every thought to the obedience of Christ, the obedience of Christ. One man this week, one of the brethren was talking with some men in a class, and it just really stood out to me. Brian in Mexico, that he was teaching an English class, and some of his students. And one of his students was involved with pornography and looking at things that he shouldn't. And Brian reproved him about it. And the man said something that just really stood out. He said, "I love the demons. That's why I like to look at that. I love the demons. Because those demons were exciting to him. They were exciting his flesh. He loved them and admitted it and realized that's where it comes from. That's what it's all about. It's demons that make you feel that way." I remember preaching and talking to people in times past that they've said similar things to that. They were just honest enough to. I know one of them that wanted to even give himself to Satan so he could have more of those demons to inflame him more and more. These were just a few of the honest ones. Multitudes just think it's just, they don't even think about it. They just look at this stuff and just follow after absent-mindedly and don't even think about it. There's a devil behind this world, and it is demons that cause us to lust after all the things of this world. There's a devil behind all of it. That's the That's the danger. We're to cast all those imaginations down and bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. That'll help us when we're tempted to think of something that we had not to be thinking about. Think of who's behind it. Think of who's behind it. Rise up. Think of being loyal. We're in a war. The devil's shooting at us. Sometimes he hits us. Learn to be on guard. Have a readiness and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. That I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. This is Paul writing to the church, teaching the church that God had given him some authority. He had given him authority over the church and to look after it, but it wasn't for his edification. It was for the churches. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak. And his speech contemptible. Paul wasn't trying to impress anyone with how well he spoke. He had a responsibility and he was just being loyal to it. That's what Christ has called us to do. Just be loyal to the place that Christ has called you to be. He's called you to be a leader. Faithfully be a follower. Be a servant. Be what he wants you to be. When it's time, there'll be a time that you're going to have to just stand up and be what you need to be. There's people running around trying to make themselves president, promoting themselves. I think a leader ought to be someone comes and promotes them to, because everyone sees it in them. Not just a popularity contest, but someone that's already being a leader. Someone that's willing just to take the first steps into the battle. Someone that's worthy to be followed. You just be faithful. If you're called just to be a follower for a while, be a good follower. I don't know, in the Old Testament, there's a couple of verses that it talks about. There was 50,000 men, I think it said, that were able to keep rank. They were just willing to whatever the Lord called them to do, to just keep the rank they're in. What a blessing that is. Let such as one think this, that as we are in the word by letters, when we are absent, which will be also indeed when we are present. Here's what I wanted to get to. Verse 12. All that was just free. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You know, it doesn't take much to look at Christianity today and to compare the Christianity of the day. It does not take much to exceed that. And it is so easy and so dangerous to see that we've exceeded that just a little bitty bit. And to be filled with pride. That boy, we're not where they are. We must be really good Christians, because we don't do what they do. I want to talk a little bit, and I'm going to maybe say a few things that might cause you to get lifted up, some of you. But I'm doing it because it's a danger that I don't think we've recognized. It's to our young people. I'm going to tell you some things. It's going to maybe shock you here in just a minute, because it's going to sound like I'm bragging about you. You thought I was going to tell you he was doing something bad, didn't you? No, I'm going to tell you, you're doing something good. You're doing some good things. I don't know how many times I've had several of the boys working with me, and somebody comes along and says, "Boy, how do you get those boys to do things like that?" Or some of the girls, Boy, we really appreciate how your young ladies are acting. You know why I'm telling you that? Because you're going to hear it. You're going to hear it. You know what? Some of you are going to believe it. And that's the danger. You're going to start hearing people say things about you. Boy, them folks really work hard. Their children are hard workers, and they're smart. They can figure things out. Well, they're just 17 or 15 or 20 years old, and they're doing things that none of the other children are doing. Just this week, a young girl was watching, and she told her dad, "Wow, those boys are doing things. There ain't none of the boys that I know can do any of that." The man she told it to had to go and drive 5 or 6 miles because the boys he was taking, the young men that he had working for him on the other crew, couldn't open a bag of seed. And he had to go open it for them. You know what the danger is? We get pretty proud of ourselves because we're doing so much better. That we've overcome one of the simplest things. We've learned how to work. Boy, we can be proud of that, can't we? Well, praise the Lord. It's a good thing. It's a real good thing. But don't listen to it. Don't stop there. I think that's one of the dangers we've fallen into. And I think that's why we've lost some young people. They heard somebody saying and bragging on them just a little bit. And instead of bringing those thoughts into captivity, and casting down those imaginations and humbling themselves, they began to compare themselves with those other boys can't even open a bag of seed. Look what I can do. I could run a business on my own. My dad can send me off to do something and I'll take care of it. It ought to be that way with everybody. This world has fallen so far away, and all we've done is just recaptured just a little bit of what ought to be natural. We have nothing to boast about. It's a blessing that the world's missing. You're going to hear it. You're going to hear it. But don't fall for it. It'll lead you away from Christ quicker than any sin this world has to offer. The problem is you'll never even know it. If you fall into sin, you'll know it. Your conscience will smite you day and night, I hope. If you fall into pride, you'll probably never even know you've done it. Preparing ourselves among ourselves. You know, I tell people that don't have a job, the unemployment rate is, 10%? You know what that tells me? That doesn't tell me there's how high the unemployment rate is. You know what that tells me if I don't have a job? All I have to do is beat and work harder and apply myself harder than the lowest 9%. All I have to do is reach 10%. Work harder than 10%. Apply myself higher than 10%. And I could probably find a job. Is being in the bottom 10% anything to brag about? If the unemployment rate was 90%, I'd have to work harder than 90% of the people to be in the top 10% to have a job. But whenever the unemployment rate is only 10%, all I have to do is work harder than the lowest 10% of the people. When I look at the workforce that's out there today, boy, and yet sometimes we just get ahead of that one little low end. We get so proud of ourselves. Like I said, it's good. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a blessing. But woe unto them when everyone speaks well of you. You know why he said that? You know why he said, woe unto you when everyone speaks well of you? Because you're in danger. You're in danger of believing it. You're in danger of being beguiled. You ought to be doing everything that you can do to where they can't but say good about you. But as soon as you start believing it, then you're trying to please them instead of God. You're trying to impress man instead of God. And you've drawn your level to as high as you need to go. And you'll start down from there. you put a cap on as far as you're going. With God. And the very thing that brought you there will be gone. It's pretty easy. Be so far above in Christianity today. And see all the wrong. Just make sure you bring those thoughts into captivity. Don't get puffed up by them. Don't get built up by them. There's not very many people looking for truth. Don't get proud because you found a little bit. Maybe we have exceeded the bottom 10%. There's still 90% left to conquer. Don't stop. Don't get tangled up. For we dare not make ourselves of the number. Or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. They're in danger. But we will not boast of things without our measure. But according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even to unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. In Matthew, chapter 7. Verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. That's what it's all about. You know, we always hear about the golden rule. That's the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's just pretty simple. In Galatians, chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. If you walk and live in the flesh, you cannot do the things that you would. We don't bring our minds into subjection, into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. We can't do what we want to do. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're in a warfare, and it's raging. May not seem like it, but it is raging. All around us. We need to be on guard. His blessings. Does anyone have anything they'd like to add or share? Let's pray. Father, again we come before you. We just want to thank you again for your goodness and your mercy. Help us, Lord, I pray, to be faithful to you, loyal, to guard our minds, Father. In Jesus' name. Oliver called, and he had gotten in contact finally with Les again, so she has applied for amnesty and a new passport through the government, so Lord willing, she'll at least be getting out of Malaysia. I don't know the conditions she's in. I'm going to try to call her tonight. Talk with her, but just keep her in your prayers. The Lord. God bless you. Pray for each other. We all face the same thing. Okay, well, we'll meet back here at 6:30, Lord willing. I guess everyone knows Steve has a new responsibility at home. All right.